It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. That song is 12 to 1. Singer, songwriter, and rapper Dessa has dropped a new studio album. It's called Bury the Lead. The Minneapolis-based artist kicked off the Midwest leg of her tour in Eau Claire Tuesday, and Dessa performs Sunday in Madison. We explore the album's themes and its Wisconsin connections along the way. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dessa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. This album blending hip-hop and pop and danceable beats, what themes and feelings do you want us to explore and absorb in this new effort?
Yeah, you know, I think for most of my career, I have leaned into what is my natural, pretty melancholic disposition. And and I get teased about it, But also, I felt really comfortable doing that. You know, I think being blue is a big part of life, or at least it's been a big part of mine. And then, you know, after experiencing the kind of collective fear and loss and kind of wash and waste of pain that was the pandemic together, you know, I felt like nobody really needs to underscore the pain part of life. Like, that's really well understood at the moment on the news and in our homes and private lives as well. And so this was the first record that I've done that kind of leans into, like you said, you know, a poppier sound, a dancier sound, but at the same time, it does so, I hope, without blinders on the eyes, you know. So this is very much like, hey, there is an existential threat at every door and window. A dance party might be the reasonable response. You know, it's like the storm is coming, buy some booze and have some friends over and be alive while you are.
Yeah. Can a pop song do that? Mm. Can it lift us in such a way, but, you know, still have some gotcha moments that make us think moments?
I mean, I hope so. I think there is sort of like a convention in pop that need not be adhered to, which is there's this presumption that if something has like a radio sound, and by that I mean, you know, it's accessible enough to be played like while you're driving, that if it's got big, strong melodies and that kind of, you know, move your body beat, that one must of necessity sort of like dial down, dial back, or even dumb down the lyrics a little bit. I like songs about going to the club, some of them, you know, I think there's a place for that, but I think there's also a place, like, I don't think you have to, I think the lowest common denominator in pop has been set, like, way too low. And I think you can have smart lyrics and still have a pop sensibility. So that's what this record tries to do anyway. I guess listeners will have to be the final arbiters of whether or not that worked.
Well, let's hear part of Hurricane Party, the first song on your album.
Fill the kiddie pool up with Prosecco, get the LEDs on, need the spectacle, gotta beat the one last week, let's get a record, if you're trying to be a go-getter, you gotta go and get it. Desperate times call for desperate pleasures, some legitimate headlines, mostly cries for attention, the camera speeds, copy ready to read, ought to be a good night, we're live in 3, 2, dang man, busted on a hot cause mic. It's a hurricane party.
This song alluding to media coverage, cries for attention. But as you said, there's also a party going on, very different good and bad things vying for our attention. How do you suggest we sort it all out?
So, you know, in that song, I was really the metaphor is a borrowed one, and it's pretty literal in that, you know, places in our country where, and maybe others too, where hurricanes are a regular occurrence and a regular threat, people really do have hurricane parties, which is to say, like, yo, the storm is coming. This isn't what I'm evacuating for. And they like provision up, you know, get the food, get the water, get the booze, and like batten down the hatches, cover the windows, and have friends over to party and wait out the storm. And I was really attracted to that because it's not, you know, that kind of like deliberate knowing hedonism doesn't turn your head off, right? It's not, it's not blind to the fact that we're mortal and aging and vulnerable. It's because of the fact that we're mortal and aging and vulnerable that we're having a house party right now. And, and I liked that idea of sort of like a hedonism that isn't just bodily, which is just to say, yo, even in best of circumstances, like our time here is brief and there ought to be hopefully, some deliberate moments of pleasure and abandon, because else, like, what's all the worry for? Do you know what I mean? Like, what are we concerned about safeguarding if we're not making room for some of that too?
I do hope you can perform that song in New Orleans.
Me too.
I think I'll just stop it there. But it would be most fitting. And I lived in Louisiana for many years, so yes.
Oh, really?
Hurricane party. I can hear that. You came up in the music scene of Minneapolis. And you've said the environment is unusual because artists and bands of different genres often mix, often play shows together. How did that lack of boundaries or that blurring influence your music?
Yeah, I think that those borders, the essentially the line, the painted lines between the genres, can be a little bit more enthusiastically patrolled in cities where you've got like a really, really strong major label, major media infrastructure, right? Because that you sort of have these, okay, this label specializes, in this sound, and this is a business entity or an agent or a club that has this kind of show. And I think in Minneapolis, just there was sort of a natural slurry, that people who liked one another's stuff, even if they sounded really different, were game to share a bill, meaning, they would be game to play on the same night on the same stage. And then culturally, that led to like an expectation as a showgoer that you might see, in my career anyway, I've played with like a choir and then a metal band and then
orchestra,
a rap crew, and then an orchestra. Yeah. So yeah, I think we do have sort of like a more permeable understanding of genres. Granted, I think also the world has changed a little bit, since
a lot of it. And people
listen
to a bunch of different stuff. It's not like they just focused on one specific genre in listening.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think that's also changed. I think it might have been more the case like 15 years ago that people were kind of flying those band shirts as a flag of affiliation. Like, I am a kind of kid who listens to only emo, or I'm a kind of kid who listens to only, indie backpack rap or whatever. And I think that's relaxed. I think that's good.
Talking with Minneapolis-based musician and writer Dessa, set to perform in Wisconsin this weekend. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm in the mood to listen to more music, so let's hear part of another song from Bury the Lead. This is What If I'm Not Ready?
I ran away young with a kite and a water gun, looking for a fight, pretty quick to find some. Hair tucked up in a Lakers cap, flipped it lucky in a soft pack, smoked it last. Walking down the yellow line, ahead and write your traffic ticket. I thought I was hard as fuck, I thought I was on a mission. Jump cut to the present days, look at the same sharp tongue, same long face. Pride is my problem, I know that's right, but that don't solve it. I don't like favors, I don't like debts, I can't prepare, I don't like making anything less than my own way. What if I'm not ready?
So that chorus, I don't like debts I can't repay. I don't like making anything less than my own way. How does that inform, you personally at this point in your career? Do you still have doubts about your abilities?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think all of us all of us that have a reasonable understanding of, social relations have cause to be uncertain or anxious. Absolutely. In short, to say, I still get stage fright. I still worry if I've got the skills it takes to present a particular song, or get nervous about trying something big. But I think that song, to be honest, is more about like the personal sphere. That's probably one of the more like overtly kind of tender and vulnerable songs, I think, on the record, where that one's like, hey, I think I found a great dude and I'm panicking. It was really sweet. We performed that one for the first time actually yesterday on stage at First Avenue.
How did that feel? How did it feel?
It was so sweet. It was so sweet in part because of the rehearsal that we'd had a few days before, where the women who sang on stage with me, who are in like musician veterans, super mega talented voices, Aviva J and Lady Midnight, who will be opening for me. Yeah, in Manhasset. And they came over to my apartment where I'm sitting right now, and we were practicing the harmonies, and they both, in like a heavy one eyebrow up way, said, "I feel this one." And I thought, oh man, it hadn't even occurred to me that, like, I think for women who are, my age, and also who've, like, this industry, it can be a tricky one to try to balance with personal relationships. You're on the road, you keep mega weird hours, and also you're passionate enough about it that you're willing to spend a lot of time doing it. And all three of those things can sort of make romance, and like deep connection difficult. And it felt so sweet to have two other women who knew what I was talking about
And
go
I want,
like,
yeah. I want to acknowledge Mega Weird Hours because you just have come off a sold out show at First Ave. And you're up with us doing this. Do you feel when in, on tour, do you feel like you find newfound energy? How do you keep it going? And,
No. Emphatic no. And forgive me for my total candor here, but when I got the invite to do this show, I was so stoked because I'm a big public radio nerd, and I have been since I was three. And I went, ooh, 8 a.m. after a First Ave show. Is there any way we could do 8:30 a.m.? And you and your production team was kind enough. Man, did I read when it said be on the Zoom at 8:28,
No
I was
means
on at
no.
8:27 and a half. So no, you guys were so sweet. But yeah, I think for me, like, touring is my favorite and my least favorite part of the job. I love travel. I love having the opportunity to, yeah, like, move around the country and share some feelings. And it's tricky, it's hard on your knees, it's hard on your back, and it mangles your sleep patterns pretty well. But yeah, I think taking it in, like, short bursts, then going home to do laundry and, get your mail has for me been part of a long-term strategy.
Singer, rapper, and writer Dessa is touring with a new solo album. It's called Bury the Lead. Weekend tour stop in Madison. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts with the artist Dessa. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show, and this is a song, Chopper, on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're hearing the song Long Wave as we tap into the creative process of Minneapolis musician Dessa. Explore her inspirations, embracing different genres of music. The singer, rapper, and writer is touring with a new album called Bury the Lead with stops in Wisconsin. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. So, Dessa, I cringe a little bit every time I hear Bury the Lead because, in our profession, it's that we fail to convey the most important part of a story. So thanks. Thanks a lot, for calling us out. What's the most important story you're trying to tell here? Why this album name?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, I will say that I am just sort of a sucker for, like, journalistic slang of any variety. So aesthetically, it's its own appeal. But also, I guess I like the idea of kind of sublimation, meaning, like, no matter what kind of discomfort or challenges that we're facing in our personal or professional lives, like, very often the buried lead, like the root of the issue, is elemental. We're looking for connection. We're afraid of loss. We're afraid of death. We want to be liked. And I think those really, that handful of drives sort of combine and recombine in all sorts of fanciful permutations. And you end up with, office stress. You end up, worrying about, a friendship that's failing. You end up sleeping on the couch, whatever it is. But really, there are only a handful of fundamental drives that seem to contribute to a lot of that impulse to write a song in the first place, those big questions, that kind of that existential angst.
But there's still time to relax and step away from that churn and that angst to just have fun and to, you know, hear a good song. So, I mean, here's a bit of a technical question. You rap, you sing often, you know, in the same song, but at different registers. How do you decide which lyric is better conveyed by one approach or the other?
Sure. That's a good question. You know, I think some of it has to do with density. Like, generally, you can deliver a rap lyric at quite a clip, you know, so you can really, if you have something to explain that takes a lot of words, a lot of ink, you can do that well in a rap lyric. And very often the song lyrics are delivered, you know, in a more legato way, right? So like the syllable count per bar is lower. And so if you have, you know, the big kind of emotional through line is often stated in the hook, in the chorus, which is sung, and then restated as it comes around again. And then you can think of verses as almost like the vignettes or the snapshots that combine to support or justify that big emotional statement. But also, I think a lot of it is just, you know, every once in a while I've sort of like sung over a beat as I'm trying to figure it out and then said, okay, well, maybe I should make this twice as fast and with fewer notes. And then it's somewhere in that, you know, no man's land between rapping and singing. So even with my collaborators, Laserbeak and Andy Thompson, you know, who I made the record with, if I said how many rap songs are on this record, we might have different numbers because some of those songs exist kind of right in a gray area.
Kind of in a no man's land there. Where do you like to write best? Where do you find the most productive writing atmosphere?
I mean, I admit that like a significant amount of writers, like I don't revel in the writing process very often. It is onerous, frustrating. It feels really good to have just finished a song, like way better than working on the song, you know, when it finally snaps in and you got it and you know it. But I walk sometimes, particularly if a song is proving difficult. You know, very often the progress on it is just... oh, it feels glacial. You know, you walk around the lake twice and you've got like 13 bars of music, you know, so 15 seconds of lyrics to show for it. So I'm a slow writer. Every once in a while, you know, I'll get hit by a lightning bolt of a particular like image I'm excited about or a rhyming couplet. But for me, it's pretty slow.
The song Decoy on the album demonstrates your rapid fire, confident rapping. Let's take a listen.
Not a side piece or a wife piece, I'm a think piece. If you're done then, take your dishes to the sink, please. Wash to the right, dry to the left. Mind is a kite and the fall is a mess. Out of office, out of body. Sorry, not sorry, with a busted rib. Ain't a thing to do about it, just tape and time. And then you take the turn again, leaning harder. Hope the road won't burn so bad this time. You read your curve, fast as fit to swerve. Put the money to the metal, come and get your girl. Till the lights blur, till the lines meet. In the middle of the high beams and the wipers. Keep time with the heartbeat. Till you hit a nerve, till you hit a nerve, till you hit a nerve.
Okay, well, tell us about Decoy. What is the song about?
Yeah, I think for me, Decoy is, you're right, one of the rappier songs on the record. And it is sort of, you know, the feeling of kind of moving through space, through time, a little bit unmoored. And that's a feeling that is familiar to me. You know, I'm eager, in part, maybe I found music and art because I'm eager to sort of try to plant a flag or like gain some purchase as time is sweeping by, make, you know, do something that feels, at least in my small pool, that feels contributive. And I've always, you know, since I was like 11, maybe younger, I've always been sort of uncomfortable about the idea of life passing at this fixed rate that you're helpless to slow, to stop, to pause, to take a breath. And so probably some of that feeling is routed into that tune. And then also, as you heard, you know, in that verse, there's some gendered stuff too. You know, what it's like to be a woman, at least as I've experienced. You know, the second verse that we just broke from there starts with smoky eye because the mind's on fire. And I think I've always been sort of interested, attracted, but also troubled by our relationship with beauty and youth in this culture.
We heard from Martha in Menominee called in to say that you have one of the best quotes ever in the music business, and it's, "No one's name is Hey Sound Guy." And Martha really appreciates that sentiment.
Ah, thank you so much. Well, a great time to shout out the engineer Joe, who I was talking with a little earlier today before you and I connected, Kate.
Oh, well, I want to just land here that I understand your mother owns a grass-fed cattle farm in northwestern Wisconsin. So how did your mom end up a farmer in Wisconsin?
Oh man, deep cut. My mom grew up Puerto Rican in the Bronx, but she read this book, Silent Spring, which is an environmental kind of, yeah, like seminal
Rachel
text.
Carson. Yes.
Boom, yes. And she was really moved by it, and I think that for her was a turning point where she started to have these dreams of, like prairie grass for her is where she was called to go. And so she moved in her early 20s to Minnesota, met my dad, did the thing, here I am. And after a long career doing like public relations, she'd always been involved in the organic movement and finally pulled over the side of the road and made an offer on 5 cows that she saw pasturing at the end of her career. She bought them and started a herd, which to me sounds like my mother is like Jack and the Beanstalk. And yeah, I think at first I was worried, to be honest, about her getting kicked by a cow, but now at a remove, it's like, hey, that fearlessness and
That's
that
her.
just,
That's her. Yeah.
yeah, and it's a
Oh.
model. It's a model for me. So
Jessa, thank you so much for joining us. All the best on the tour.
thank you so much for having me. Hope to see those of you in Madison on Sunday
Yes.
night.
Dessa, rapper, singer, and writer. New album, Bury the Lead, member of the Minneapolis-based hip hop collective Doomtree. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Dog and see what hunger does.